And turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23 this evening, continuing the last part of the chapter, verses 8 through 39. And again, you can tell that these are not in the last couple chapters here, not in chronological order. We just heard the last words of David in a song in verses 1 through 7, and now we hear more about David. And so, and even some things that he says. So this is not in chronological order, and yet to be taken very seriously, for this is God's word. So 2 Samuel 23, verse 8, these are the words of our Lord. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Jasheb, Bashebeth, a Tekemonite, chief of the captains. He was called Adino the Esnite because of 800 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines, who were gathered there to battle, and the men of Israel had withdrawn. He rose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to strip the slain. Now after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered into a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot, defended it, and struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Then three of the 30 chief men went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of Adullam, while the troop of the Philistines was camping in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, while the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. David had a craving and said, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the 30, and he swung his spear against 300 and killed them, and had a name as well as the three. He was most honored of the 30, therefore he became their commander. However, he did not attain to the three. Then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done mighty deeds, killed the two sons of Ariel of Moab. He also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian, an oppressive man. Now the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a club and snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and had a name as well as the three mighty men. He was honored among the 30, but he did not attain to the three. And David appointed him over his guard. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was among the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo, of Bethlehem. Shema, the Herodite. Elekah, the Herodite. Helez, the Peltite. Era, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite. Ebiezer, the Anathothite. Mebunai, the Hushathite. Zalman, the Ahahite. Maharai, the Netophathite. Heleb, the son of Baana, the Netophathite. Ittah, the son of Rebiah, of Gibeah, the sons of Benjamin. Benaiah, the Perathonite. Hidiah, the brooks of Gaash. Abba Allah, Aban, the Arbathite. Asmaveth, the Barhumite. Elihaba, the Shaalbanite. The sons of Joshin, Jonathan. Shema, the Harite. Ahiam, the son of Shar, the Arite. Eliphelet, the son of Abishai, the son of Maakathite. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gileanite. Hezro, the Carmelite, and Parai the Arbite, Igal the son of Nathan of Zobah, Bani the Gadite, Zelek the Ammonite, Naharai the Berathite, armor bearers of Joab the son of Zariah, Era the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, Uriah the Hittite. 37 in all. And that is God's word. And so here we see the last half of the chapter, most of the last part of the chapter, a list of men who are to be honored for their service of the kingdom in Israel. In verses 8 through 12, we have a list of the elite group of warriors. One of them defeated 800 enemies in a single battle. For Eleazar, when Israel retreated, he stood his ground. Shema defended the field of a farmer from the pillaging of some Philistines. Behind them, what do we see in verses 10 through 12? Who is ordering all of this? It says, Yahweh brought about a great victory. Why should those men be honored? Because Yahweh worked through them to defend His people. But we must realize always that any goodness that comes, any gain that is made, then any honor it deserved is ultimately because the Lord is working in them to do it. And truly the honor must go to the Lord. Verses 13 through 17, David had a craving like we have before, like a home-cooked meal. Something like that, because Bethlehem is where he was born. And so he's, only if I could have the water from the well of Bethlehem, to quench that craving he had. And he did not expect these mighty men to actually go and get it for him, but yet they did. What an act of kindness from these three men, and yet such a kindness at that time, David could only respond in thinking that the Lord, and that he has done this great kindness, and so he worships the Lord in this way by pouring out the water before him, giving it up because he knows it was all Yahweh's covenant love for him, even though in some sense he was complaining. Just had his craving, and he only could have it satisfied with the water of Bethlehem. And so again, as this is God's covenant, Yahweh's covenant love for him, he sees Yahweh working through, we see Yahweh working through his servants to produce a great strength. And then here in verses 13 through 17, a great kindness. The rest of the chapter, we have a couple entries about some men who excelled in their fighting for and in fidelity to the king. And that really constitutes that fighting for the kingdom of God in the world. These were all enemies of God that were being fought against. And through these men, Yahweh gave rest to David and to Israel from their enemies. These were, in that sense, kingdom servants, even pagan kingdom servants, who, then it says, the very last verse, should have stood out to you. Why would his name be here? Uriah the Hittite. Uriah, we actually find out, was one of 30 of the mighty men of Israel at one time. He was not just some Joe Schmo. And when they fought the battle and he was on the front line, you know, he was there and just another one of the infantry members and men. He was one of the 30 mighty men of Israel. And his name is here to remind us, especially being last of all the names, last to remind us of the past and to remind us of David's sin and all the family falling out and the trouble and the struggles in the kingdom after that sin that David committing by putting this man to death, by putting him on the front line so that he would die. So he could take Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, for his own. And so remember now verse 39 is saying, remember how Yahweh showed so much grace to David. That he disciplined David, yes. But he did not destroy David as he deserved. He raised him up to be even greater than before. And his sin is covered. It is not a stain on David anymore. There's no more guilt. It has been dealt with in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. David is clean because of my mercy, because of my grace. And so it's Yahweh who gives power and strength. It's Yahweh who shows kindness. It's Yahweh who establishes and defends His kingdom and His people. And it's Yahweh who showers his people with grace. And so if you have received any power or any strength, if you received any kindness, if you received any thing where you've been defended and protected, if you've received any grace, it is because the Lord has shown it, even through his instruments, his people. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you and thank you that you're a God who works through your instruments. You work through even men, women, children on this earth, even people who do not know you, who rebelled against you. You work through them to bring about for your people great power. And you show great kindness, as you have throughout all of our lives. You've shown this amazing grace, and you've always protected us from our enemies. Lord, we are here today because of your working, not only directly in our lives, but working through secondary means, through other people, and through other things in your creation. That if there is a victory, then we must say and praise your name. It is the Lord who has given the victory. And if there is favor or kindness shown, we must say it was the Lord who showed this kindness to me. Father, we pray that we would be a people who loves to praise and boast in your name, who give all the credit to you. And we pray that we would not ever take any glory for ourselves. For we know what happened to one king who did that. He was put to death. Father, we ask that we would give you all the glory and boast only in your name. For we who are weak, we know that you are strong and your grace is sufficient at all times. And Father, we are a sinful people. We have sinned in every way imaginable. We have turned from you. And yet you have remained faithful, never turning your back on us. You've always been there for us. How horrible and wretched we are when we turn from you, a God who has saved us through your Son. Yet we ask that you would turn us back to you, and that you would remain faithful to your promises, that you will change our hearts, that you'll take that guilt away, that you'll cleanse us of sin, that you'll give us forgiveness of sin. Give us faith to believe the gospel and everything about how one comes to be saved and how all these things of what you're doing. Teach us throughout the rest of our lives. And Lord, as we call on you to be the God who protects us, because you're the God who protects and you're the God who strengthens, we ask that you would be with those whose bodies are failing, those who are growing older, which is all of us. We're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And eventually our bodies will physically die. And our bodies will be placed in the grave. But now in this time we pray that it would be true, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That you would strengthen us in all of our encounters with persecution and suffering and issues that we have with the world that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Lord, strengthen us against sin. Heal us of our diseases. Heal our broken bones. And in time, we ask that you would give us new glorified bodies, which will experience no more pain and no more sorrow, no more brokenness, no more cancer. But we look forward to that day with great longing and great joy, when we will see you face to face. We do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.